Welcome to Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational, always amusing conversations about movies. Double Take is a Cinema Classics production produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
I'm John DeSando.
This here's Double Take.
Boy, oh boy.
Oh, watch yourself.
This question keeps looming over us. All year, I mean, 2021 was the year that I think we all thought we'd get back to the movie theaters. And we did.
Yeah.
In fits and starts.
We did.
So what I'd like to do, one of the things I just want to set the stage here for this conversation.
Yes.
I've spent a lot of time thinking about what makes a movie cinematic, what makes a film worth seeing in a theatrical environment, what movie, what cinema still works at home when you're sitting on your couch. So I want to revisit the year, if you would amuse me.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Humor me.
Yeah, no,
okay?
No.
So I'd like to go back and I'm mention a few movies that we probably both have seen. I would like you to tell me if you saw them at home or in the theater.
Okay.
And in hindsight, if you wished you'd seen it in the theater, or what made it work in the theater, what make it didn't. You know what I'm saying?
Good, I got it. Yeah, excellent.
Good. All right, let's go with, let's start with, do you remember the movie The Killing of Two Lovers?
I sure do.
As one of the best movies of the year.
Apparently nobody else remembers it, because
it's
not
in
anybody's remembrance, and it was a super film.
It's an amazing little film. Where did you see it?
It worked very well at home.
Yeah.
However, with the background mountains, it would have been nice to have a bigger palette for this.
Yeah.
But here's one, right to your point, can be enjoyed either way.
Yeah. It is such a small, intimate film.
Yes.
And the aspect ratio is a very, it's classic, kind of
yes.
just perfect square. It did play very nicely at home, you know. You do have to create the right atmosphere. That's what I noticed for a lot of these films. When you're watching them at home, you do have to sort of, you know, hunker down. You got to be quiet. You know, sometimes I can't watch a movie during the wrong, like at the movie theater, you can go any time of day, right? You go into a dark movie theater and you lose sense of time.
Yeah.
But at home, some of these films you need to watch them at night.
And I think we've made the point before, the theater is a controlled environment. You can't really screw off the way you can at home.
Right. And that's what I try to do at home. My advice to people, if you care about film, is to try to, as closely as you can, cast that same spell. Don't keep getting up. Go to the bathroom before you start the movie. Get your, you know, get a drink, sit down, and prepare to buckle in for a while. Anyway, I wish I'd seen that movie
okay.
in the theater.
Yep.
Okay. How about Annette?
Yeah, Annette easily can be enjoyed at home because it's so chatty, so theatrical. But there are some scenes that would work very well on a bigger screen.
Interesting.
But you're looking at Adam Driver, for instance, and Marianne Cotillard, and you're looking at fine performances, and I could be sitting in the theater and enjoying it.
Okay. I saw it in the theater.
Ah.
And I loved it in the theater. And I really can't imagine it working as well. It's such a cinematic experience.
Yeah.
Leos Carax, the director. It's an incredibly visual movie. And it's a musical. And I just feel like at home, that spell, you really need that theatrical spell to be cast over you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a visual treat.
Right.
Okay. You give me one.
Pig.
I'm glad you said Pig. I'm glad you said this one.
This is Nicolas Cage's
yes.
tour de force, as far as I'm
we
concerned.
We saw this in the theater. I am so glad that we saw this in a theater setting.
Yes.
Because of the sound design of
All
the
right.
movie.
Good.
There's such a beautiful attention to detail paid to the aural environment.
Sure, yeah.
And it's such a quiet, introspective movie that, you know, distractions at home could easily shatter the vibe, the mood of this movie. It really does work to establish a mood And, you know, that's something we don't always think of when we talk about movies, the mood that it sets. Anyway, and, I'm so glad I saw
it. Sure, and the confined theme of his life, pulling himself away from society, worked very nicely on a smaller setting. Even though he's out in the forest and you would think, well, it'd be expansive and so on, he is claustrophobic in one way and trying to, and actually working himself away from his seclusion. Very cool. Good
one. Yeah. Just same note, that month, that was July, that came out in July, and it was released right alongside of Roadrunner, a film about Anthony Bourdain.
I know.
We saw that in the theater as well. Now, a documentary is a little bit different. Yeah. And a documentary, this one in particular, used a lot of video, B-roll. And the video is just flat, right? So, and I felt like in a documentary, especially a documentary about a television personality who made a lot of television, that could have easily been viewed at home, I thought. Just a...
No, you're right. And there was, even though there was so much video that he oversaw, a great deal of it was him.
Yeah.
You really didn't need back. All the countries in the world that he traveled, you didn't need to see any of them. What we were all there for is, why did he commit suicide?
Right, right.
Well, that's a big existential question that doesn't require the big canvas.
Exactly. Right. Okay, here's one.
Yeah.
Tell me if you saw this, where you saw it. Shiva Baby.
I must have seen that at home. I think I did.
Okay. We saw it at home. I saw it at home.
Yeah, I think I probably did too.
It is a... I feel like that movie worked in a home setting.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, it doesn't have a distinct cinematographic look about it, although, you know, I wouldn't want to, you know, disparage the work of what I'm sure was, you know, very... an artful approach by the cinematographer, but... there was something about the movie that played at home.
The only reason you might need a big canvas is that it had a little bit of the Woody Allen tracking through the apartment feel to it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't need a big either.
Right. And you know, some of the claustrophobic nature of the movie, you think maybe, you know, maybe that would have been heightened in a dark theater.
Yeah.
But it manages to come across. What do you got from me?
Gunpowder Milkshake.
Oh, I still haven't.
Oh, all right, let's pass that by. You mentioned earlier on one I think worth talking about, Quiet Place 2.
Yeah. Wow, that was back at near the beginning of the year. I think that was like March.
Okay.
And well, I remember very distinctly being excited to get back to the theater. At that particular point in the year, I remember being excited because it was the sequel to this really great horror film that had come out a couple years before. And I thought John Krasinski had done such a smart – it was such a smart movie. And the original, the first film, A Quiet Place, it was a movie that was designed to be seen in theaters because – The whole premise of the movie, which is make a noise and you will be killed by aliens, you know, that's what everybody should be thinking when they go into a movie theater. Make a noise and aliens are going to reach out of the sky and snatch you out of it. So when you were seeing, when I remember the joy of seeing that first film and like listening to everybody in the theater, you could hardly rustle a bag of popcorn without everybody going, you know. So I was excited for this movie. And I can't tell you how disappointed I was ultimately.
Yeah, and I wasn't as disappointed as you. I still think it was a communal experience. I still think it was meant for the theater, for all the things that you said. There's still qualities of that, the treacherous quiet.
Yeah.
There still was that quality that was enhanced. And it wasn't as good. You're absolutely right.
Speaking of the communal experience, because that's another part
now,
of it. You're listening to Double Take, critical, confrontational. Always amusing conversations about the movies. We're looking back at the year and exploring the difference between the theatrical experience and the at-home experience. What were we talking about? We were talking about Quiet Place.
Yeah, Quiet Place.
You mentioned the communal experience.
Yes, right.
Which obviously, you know, when we think about seeing movies in the theaters, that's what we're thinking about, right? Yeah. Seeing movies with an audience. I got to tell you, one thing that I think has changed for me is... I don't know how much of an audience I can stand anymore. And I'm saying this. I'm not even trying to be curmudgeonly amusing.
I got it.
I will say this: A Quiet Place. When we saw that movie, barely anybody in the theater, so it didn't really matter. You know, there were a few stragglers there, and it felt like, okay, there are some people here. Now, recently, another movie we need to talk about, House of Gucci, which is a movie that I think does need to be experienced in the theater because it's such a fun movie, lover's movie. That was the first movie I've seen all year that there was a sizable audience there in the theater, which was encouraging. However, I was sitting next to these people who were eating
popcorn. Yeah, I know, your popcorn.
I could not stand it. And it just, it starts to get a little claustrophobic. And they take you out of the movie. They break the spell of the movie.
I know. And any movie that I have gone to in the hopes of seeing audience come back has not come true for me. Even a 7 o'clock movie. There are only very few people there, which also enhances my experience because I'm able to talk to friends. I'm able to do things I couldn't do in the theater when there were a lot of people. Anyway, so
it's discouraging though, isn't it?
Yes,
like you want the audience there,
yes.
But then when they're there, you're like, Jesus, can these people get the hell out of here?
And I can't help think about the movie's future and what's going to happen to theaters if there are so few people that are attending. And you know something? It's like renting your own theater. There are so few, if nobody else there. It's really a kind of a luxurious feeling. And yet at the same time, I'm missing the communal. Yes.
Yeah.
I can't have it both ways.
Okay, here's a couple more. This is a string of movies that I saw, and I don't know whether or not that they work in the theaters.
Okay.
Well, I saw Free Guy with Franco.
I did not see that.
Yeah, and what a hideous, visually hideous film.
Ooh.
Just garish.
Ooh.
Like, you know, and the message of it is just grotesque, and I wish we'd just seen it on television, but we didn't. We saw it in the theater.
One of them that the New York Times mentioned in the recent article about the year and experience was Stillwater. Isn't that an interesting observation about that?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was A.O. Scott, or I forget who it was, had come back to the theater with Stillwater.
Manola,
okay. And she was...
And she said it was trash.
Right?
She
said it was at least mediocre, but then she was so happy to be back in the theater.
Yeah. I did see it in the theater. Did you?
Yes, I did.
That is a film that feels like I could have easily watched that at home.
Yeah.
Because there's a flatness to it.
Oh, yeah.
There's this kind of like... I don't know. Actually, maybe it's his character, this like, you know, this sort of working class.
Yeah. It's paint by the numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, we know what's going to happen, and you can leave and go to the bathroom and come back and not have missed much.
Right.
However, wasn't bad to go back to the theaters to see it.
Let me recommend the pause button to you. You know, I hope you're not letting movies play as you get up and go to the restroom. What about... Hey, did you see Come On, Come On yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
it's on my list.
Got to see
that good Joaquin
in
Phoenix.
The theater. In the theater.
Good.
The cinematography is so gorgeous. And it's such a sweet movie that I can't imagine it really. I feel like it would definitely lose something.
Now, you still haven't seen Card Counter.
Have not.
Oh.
I'm waiting. I checked to see what the rental is on that.
Ah.
You know, it's still at $20.
Ooh,
I'm gonna wait.
Really?
I think at the end of the week it drops down to like you can rent it for like $6.
Okay, good.
Or
all right, good.
Here are two movies that couldn't be more different, and I'm wondering how you will put them in this category.
Mm-hmm.
You know, The Eyes of Tammy Faye,
mm-hmm,
contrasted with Titan.
only you could introduce that contrast. Titan is one of the most outrageous movies of the year, and one of the most outrageous I've ever seen. But it is fascinating. What a character!
It's so bizarre that I do feel like it holds your attention at home, but I also feel like Julia Ducournau, who's the director. She is such a tactile filmmaker. She wants to immerse you in a world. She wants to assault your senses. She wants to kind of jar you into thinking in different ways. And I just feel like man, I wish I'd seen that in a movie theater.
Yeah, it really needed it, didn't it? There was so much going on, if just in our heads.
Yeah,
that
right.
We needed that space.
That hypnotic kind of space, really, right? On the other hand, The Eyes of Tammy Faye seemed like it was a made-for-Hulu thing.
I know. I'm so disappointed because
cartoonish.
I really liked her performance, Jessica Chastain. I think she will be nominated, but the movie itself seems to fall by the way. Nobody's remembering it, and I enjoy that kind of trash.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't know. It worked because it's so colorful. It worked on the big screen for me.
Yeah, right. Okay, I got one. And this got me really thinking about seeing movies in theaters and what they might lose at home. The Humans.
And I haven't seen it.
Okay. Let me just...
Yeah.
We don't have to belabor it if you haven't seen it, but I just want to say this is a movie that was adapted from a play. It's so invested in its own space and the space that these characters occupy. So many little details... architectural details, interior details, signs of decay. There's one shot of a feather that's kind of just been like a breeze sort of just flits through the feather. And I thought, well, number one, this is something that could never be done in a stage play, right? So the director is showing us things that only movies can do. And I felt like if I was watching that movie at home, I might have gotten bored.
No, okay.
Maybe even bailed on it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even said, ah, all right, I get it, right? But in the theater setting, in a movie theater, the sounds, the texture of the space, the characters, it all started to become a very cinematic experience, and it worked. I don't know that movie, you know, we do lose something occasionally at home. You know, with so many distractions.
Well, I was thinking that, here's a movie for me, Virginia Woolf type.
Okay.
All we need is one room and have them shouting at each other, and I'm a happy man. Theatrical experience. Now I'm thinking that a big screen actually lets us breathe because they tend to suffocate each other and us in the confined nature of that. And so if you're looking at it at home, you'll need a little extra oxygen because it's all being sucked out by these terrific performances. The screen allows it to expand a bit, give us a feeling that if this gets too much, we can go over into another room or into a corner.
Yeah,
it's
right,
good,
right.
It's a good...
Well, how about we end on...
I've got... Come on.
Oh, yeah, give me some.
Yeah, I got two that I know. One, you won't put up Spencer at all. I know you won't. And I liked it very much. I thought it did a job on the British monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it gave us a different insight into an iconic figure, into Princess Di.
Listen, Spencer is an interesting film. I'm glad I saw it in the theater. I do think that it is a mood piece in a lot of ways. It there's a lot of effort gone to depict her sort of interior state of fragility. Mm-hmm. Which I think requires that sort of, you got to be quiet. It needs to be dark, right? The cinematography is great. There's that kind of like muted, there's a sort of muted look to everything.
Sure.
With these bursts of color coming from her outfit.
Yeah, and you're having your drone shots, which are giving us the sense of the splendor.
But the thing that I thought about that movie was that, so... It's not necessarily a very pleasant characterization, right? Kristen Stewart is great.
It is definitely not. You're right.
We're not supposed to think she's so amazing.
Right.
You know? She's sort of like, I started thinking, okay, you know how people will say Raging Bull is like an exercise in like just you're spending time with an a-hole for 2 hours, right? But he's an abusive, combative a-hole. Well, this is the same thing. You're spending time with this woman. I get the sort of, you know, the sort of misogyny that she had to endure. But she also is a princess. And come on, she comes off as a petulant, whiny little fuss.
This is why I think Kristen Stewart will be nominated.
Okay.
She gives us a different perspective. Now, let's not – there are two that we have to mention here before we end.
Yeah.
First of all, the one that I know will be on everybody's list.
Let's hear it.
Power of the Dog.
That's where I was going to end with that, because I did finally see it.
But, however, let me say, hoping that you and Summer can join us on Friday, and you probably won't, but we are going to see West Side Story.
Oh, okay. Yes, I do want to see it.
I know, and I think we have to deal with that.
And I think, I can't even imagine. I cannot imagine. I can't fathom seeing that anywhere but.
I know. That's great.
And it's also because of the history of Spielberg, the history of that particular film.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the conversation around this has been, will people come back to the theaters to see something other than franchise tentpole spectacle, i.e. the Marvel films?
Yeah.
And here's Spielberg kind of giving us something in a more classic Hollywood vein, a musical. Now, there have been musicals this year.
Yeah, In the Heights.
In the Heights.
Didn't make it.
Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yeah.
But this one.
Yep.
This smacks of something a little different.
Yep. And so, you know what will happen? Our listener has to join us next week if that's going to be our best of the year.
Poor soul.
Because West Side Story is going to be in that top 10. I just feel it without seeing it.
Good. I hope so.